Hola, and welcome back to Voz Memos. In this episode, I'm going to recap some of the things that I've been doing and thinking about leading up to my birthday. Thanks for saying happy birthday. So stay tuned to hear some of my book recommendations, how the Instagram cleanse has been going, and an exciting zine update. So make a tea, refill your water, and relax because you're listening to Voz Memos. So Bobby's joining me. She's my co-host, and I just wanted to give an update on how it's been going. It's been going great. Bobby is the sweetest and most curious roommate I've ever had. She definitely acts her age. She just turned 2, and she gets her zoomies at least 2 to 3 times per day, and that's when I'm home. Who knows what she's up to when I'm at work. Although my boyfriend did get me a nanny cam for her for my birthday. So I'll have a little bit more insight into what she's up to while I'm gone. But other than that, yeah, we've just been playing with the laser pointer. I've been trimming her nails, which has been interesting. She is getting used to it. She's tolerating it at this point, but we'll see if she destroys my couch before we've gotten fully into a routine. Bye, Bobby. Yeah, she loves sitting in my chair. So when I'm working from home, it's a battle for who gets to sit at the desk. And I like to tell her, there's only one of us paying the bills here. Like, somebody's got to be manning the 9 to 5. But she doesn't really care. So I feel bad when I have to kick her out of my desk, but sometimes that has to happen. I mean, I've done episodes about living alone, and Bobby definitely makes it 10 times better. So definitely would recommend getting a cat as soon as possible, but you probably won't find one as cute or awesome as Bobby. Sorry. So that's the Bobby update. So next I want to give a book update, not book recommendations yet, but the update on my manuscript, Búsqueda de Alma. I'm currently working on my 3rd draft. And by currently, I mean that I finished 1 chapter. But I mean, after attending the Women in Publishing Conference, I feel like I have a lot of new tools, a lot of new insight on editing fiction. It's just not a skill that you really practice unless you major in creative writing. So it's been an interesting skill to pick up on and learn, like, those mistakes that young writers make or new writers make. So I'm hoping that my book is on the right track, and my goal is to get it to beta readers in May, and I feel pretty confident that I'm going to do that. So here's to draft three, and I'm really excited to get it into the hands of some of my close friends. I want to shout out Jaria. She just became a published author. Well, I don't know if she's been published before, but she has a children's book coming out about The Legend of Zelda. And I think that's so amazing that I know people in the industry that are, you know, like, breaking in. It's a huge accomplishment to get any type of book published. So, Jaria, congratulations. So, with the Bobby update and the Búsqueda de Alma update out of the way, let's get into how the Instagram cleanse is going. So it's been almost a month since I've had Instagram downloaded on my phone, which is crazy and feels so good, honestly. Disclaimer, I still have the account. I didn't delete my accounts. And I do have it on my iPad. But if any of you have Instagram for the iPad, you'll know it's terrible because it's not actually for the iPad. It's just downloaded on your iPad the size of a phone. So it's not a very pleasant experience, which is why I leave it on the iPad, because it helps me be on it as little as possible. I'm definitely feeling less influenced overall. And I do say less because before I really deleted the app off my phone, I was getting these ads for the Canvas lamp, which is a tool for artists who also like to make content, which I would fall into that category. I can really get into making a reel. Like, they're fun to make. Sometimes. As long as it's not completely dictating my art, I do like to share my process. And so the canvas lamp, they really reached their target demographic with me. And I did ask for it for my birthday, and I love it already. So sometimes the algorithm works in your favor, and you do end up with a product that you really love and that does or solve a problem in your life. Most of the time you're getting targeted with junk. I'm very grateful to not have that as much anymore. After I deleted Instagram, I really started to notice just how many ads are everywhere. And because I'm like, well, I'm not getting them from Instagram anymore, but I'm getting them even on my morning commute. As I walk through the public skyway, there's ads. There's ads on the wall, and there's ads in the PA system. Like, I'm getting blasted ads as I'm walking. It's very dystopian, honestly. I do love the skyways, but it makes me feel bad because I'm like, well, I have to wear my AirPods at all times because otherwise I'm hearing ads. And luckily, I pay for Spotify Premium, or my dad does. Thanks, Dad. And so I can listen to Spotify ad-free, but even my podcasts are full of ads. I'm skipping through several minutes of podcast ads to listen ad-free. And so far, the only content that doesn't have ads is like books. And I'm waiting for them to figure out how to add ads to books because it's going to happen any day now, seeing the trends and how we're going. I hope not. That's when we would know that we're in a true dystopia, is when the books have ads in them. For now, we're in the clear. Overall, I'm influenced less because at least these other ads, they're not part of an algorithm as much. One creepy thing that's been happening is as soon as I deleted Instagram off of my phone, this makes me sound like such a conspiracy theorist, but as soon as I deleted it off my phone, the only ads I was getting on YouTube was from Meta to download Instagram. They knew immediately, and I say they, the algorithm, the people that have my data, gave it to Meta. Meta started advertising to me on YouTube immediately. And I still see more ads about Instagram than I've ever seen before. It's creepy. It's really creepy. Another positive from deleting Instagram has definitely been a creativity uptick because, I mean, creativity is such a muscle that needs to be exercised. And I hate going to the gym as much as anyone else. But if you can establish a healthy routine, it makes it that much easier to go. And I've heard, I don't know if it's a myth or not, but eventually you enjoy going to the gym. But I think the same theory works for creativity, where if you're exercising that muscle, the creativity muscle, eventually you'll start to crave it and you'll have more ideas and more inspiration and you'll just start seeing the world differently. So I've been doing this challenge, which is the thing I'm most excited to share with you. 24 sketches before I turned 24. And I just kind of came up with this. There's a lot of daily sketching and doodling challenges out there, but I wanted to do this for myself. One, to turn it into a zine at the end, which I have, and I'll give you a little zine tour for those of you watching. I wanted to do this challenge because, one, it didn't require a screen. I wanted them all to be on paper sketches. And two, it was just about developing that daily habit of getting some creativity on the page. Do I have a third point? A sketching challenge like this can also help you just see the beauty in the mundane. And because, I mean, 24 ideas, that's a lot of ideas, even if it's just one idea per day. And there's only so much, like, you can't sketch the same thing twice. I mean, that was not an official rule, but I made that a rule. I didn't want a sketchbook full of the same stuff. And so it's hard to find inspiration. And I think like by the end of the challenge, I was finding it easier to come up with ideas and turn like a grain of an idea into a full sketch. So the challenge was a success. I finished 24 sketches before I turned to 24. And I think I made something really cool. The zine is called Woman Artist, What is Your Current State of Mind? And I collaged it from a magazine that I had lying around. It was just so serendipitous that all those words were in the magazine and they worked so perfectly for the zine. Something that I love about collages is when that happens, just the perfect word pops out of the page or the perfect image pops out of the page. So let me give you a little tour of it. So like I said, the title of the zine is Woman Artist, What is Your Current State of Mind? Subtitle, A Collection of Sketches by Angela George. And this does not have all 24 sketches that I did. If you do 24 sketches in a row, there's going to be some duds. I had some cop-out days, and I did not want to include those in the zine. So it's only the best ones, and that's fine. It's my zine. I can do what I want. And like I said, I would just kind of find inspiration in the moment from something happening that day, something I heard, something I was thinking about, and also just, you know, my birthday. So it opens up with a spread. On the left side, it says bitch over and over again. And this was when I was in my printmaking era. In the last 2 weeks, I rediscovered printmaking with my friend Jaria, who I shouted out at the beginning of the episode. And it's been really fun. So I just made a little eraser stamp that says bitch, and I stamped that all over the page. Does that count as a doodle? I'm counting it because it was a little bit of creativity that I got onto paper. So I counted it. And then I have the first doodle that I did in the series, which arguably might still be the best one out of the collection. And it's actually these headphones that I'm wearing. And it says, Girlhood, what era are you in? Oh. Okay. If I do a peace sign on my recording, sometimes it throws up balloons. So, bonus if you're watching this on YouTube. So, the next spread, this one's a little bit darker. I think as we grow up and we get older, we outgrow friendships. And so that was something I was thinking about. Like, I mean, I almost have none of the same friends from that I had 10 years ago, which is fine. it's okay that I've grown apart from those people. And then I still have some of those same friends, like Autumn. I just went to her wedding. Mimi, I'm calling her next week. She lives in Korea. And we were definitely all friends in 2014. So the next spread, it has friendship bracelets. And you'll have to download the PDF on angelageorge.com/zineland so that you can really inspect these up close. But it says like judgmental, fake, insecure, bi. And I just thought it was kind of ironic to do friendship bracelets about not being friends. So a little joke with myself. Now you're in it. Now you're in my inside joke. Welcome. And then I have the phone that says, hey, do you want to be friends? Okay, never mind. I was feeling a little emo. A lot of these are kind of hyperbole. I'll take, like I said, a grain of an idea and I'll really like exaggerate it. I like to think that I'm deep and an artist. So yeah, it's just having fun with some of these. The next one is what I call the birthday spread. It says birthday bitch. This month, I've just been kind of obsessed with the word bitch. I have a whole another zine that's called I Want to Be a Bitch. So check that one out too on angelageorge.com/zineland. The other page is a martini. I have been obsessed with martinis this month. I don't know why. It might be more than a month, but I had none of the ingredients. I didn't have martini glasses. I didn't have skewers. So I like slowly collected the things I needed. And I thrifted two martini glasses and then immediately broke one. So that was really sad. But I did successfully make myself a dirty martini. My ratio is 2:1:1 vodka, olive brine, dry vermouth. And I'm using a Minneapolis vodka, Du Nord. So it was really fun. And then I had a martini on my birthday as well. I would just say that one is very much like of this moment, my state of consciousness before I turn 24 and into being 24, because I still want more martinis. Okay, the next one is a two pager, the most important meal of the day. And it's just a toaster. I thought that was really cute. I've been making a lot of toast as well. And then this one is one of my favorites. It says bleh, and it's a hat that says dead inside. I drew this off of one of my boyfriend's hats. That's kind of one of his things. Some of his favorite fashion accessories, I would say, are hats. And I thought it'd be really funny, instead of doing a sports team, just like this smiley face on fire. So so that's a fun one. Okay, this one fell apart. I don't have a stapler, so I've been sewing them, but I guess that's not going to work in the long term. Shaving is a waste of time with a girl with hairy legs. This is not me. Please do not think this is me. It is just a doodle. I realized pretty quick into the challenge that if I sketched them out using a pencil and then traced over it and then erased the pencil, one, I would smudge everything because I'm impatient, and two, it just wasn't as organic and like fun and quirky. So after I realized that, I only did pen. And because of that, I had to get a little creative if I made any mistakes. But I think both of these turned out really cute. The other one's sardines, but the background is like space. And there's just been kind of this social media trend with sardines. Have not tried sardines ever. Don't really plan on it. Honestly, the next spread, I love this spread. On the left are a bunch of grocery bags, and instead of saying the typical things, it says eat the rich, spend more with a heart, have a great day with a flower, a peace sign, and then in the middle it says thank you with another dead emoji. I don't know why. I think they're just so fun. A lot of these are much darker than I actually am. And it was just kind of fun to explore, like, my edgy side. And then the other one is kind of, like, of that same vein of, like, hyper-consumerism. It's an aisle in Target with clouds that says, welcome to heaven. I kind of agree with it. And then I kind of, like, hate myself that I like Target that much. I don't know what that is. Just living in capitalist society, I guess. The next one is a two-page spread that says couch potato forever, and it's actually a doodle of this couch. If you're watching the YouTube video, I hope you can see the resemblance. And yeah, that one was fun because I was trying to draw in perspective a little bit. And the last spread is, of course, I had to feature Bobby in the zine. She's so cute. And she does that pose all the time where she's stretched out all the way, doing the classic. I think she's actually doing downward dog. It speaks to her personality. Sometimes she acts more like a dog than a cat, I would say. And then the other one, again, playing with my edginess. I actually talked about this one on my Instagram. So I wanted to black out the whole background, but then my marker started running out of ink. And I was able to create this really cool wavy texture. And in the areas that were the darkest, I was able to use a white gel pen. And I wrote, beauty in imperfection, beauty in death, and beauty in darkness. So that is Woman Artist. What is your current state of mind? Thanks for sticking with me through the zine tour. I hope that if you weren't watching on YouTube, you go to angelageorge.com/zineland and you can check out all my zines there. I'm really excited to share with you Zineland because It was something I thought of early on in my zine journey. I wanted something that is a little bit different, a little bit more experimental than the rest of my website. And I also wanted something to code. I've been craving a challenge like that. There's just something so addictive about imagining exactly what you want and then creating that thing, which coding gives you the power to create anything that you can think of for a website. So Zineland turned out exactly how I wanted it to. It's very cute. It's very like new brutalism, poppy, electric. There aren't that many zines on it yet. There's about 10, half of which are mine, but there's going to be more. I'm pumping these things out. I'm not on Instagram anymore. I mean, the other part of this challenge, the sketching challenge, was I forgot what it's like to create with your hands and paper and pencils and pens. And I wrote a poem about this in my other zine, but I still love technology, which you can find on the website. But yeah, as an artist, like, I've been creating digital art for so long and imitating like watercolor and markers, and I've been imitating all of that digitally, but I haven't actually touched those physical mediums in a long time. So that felt really good and energizing. And I'm excited for my next scene, which is definitely going to be a collage. It's going to be something about Taylor Swift. It's been a long time coming. If you know, you know. Keep checking Zineland. I'll be giving updates here on any new zines I make. But yeah, it was just really fun to code it. I kind of fell into a coding coma, if you will, where I had Good Friday off for some reason. And so Thursday night before Good Friday, I mocked up the whole design on Figma. And that's kind of the hardest part of making a website, is just deciding what you want it to look like, what fonts, what's your color scheme. And once you knock out a lot of those designing parts of it, it's very simple to execute. So I had responsive design, and it was really fun to mock it up. Did that all Thursday night, and then Good Friday, woke up, rolled over, grabbed my laptop, and just started coding. And I really see coding as another like art medium, because I do enjoy that visual part of it. I would never say back-end coding is art. You don't see that. Sorry. No offense to the back-end coders out there, but I'm a UX, UI girly. I love coding the front end. I love doing websites. And so I really see that as an extension of my art and my zines. So you can check them all out at angelageorge.com/zineland. And so I'm still, this is all under the umbrella of the Instagram cleanse, if you're following the outline here. And so another benefit of being off Instagram has been I'm on my phone less when I'm like waiting in line, and when I'm feeling awkward in the elevator, and like these places where normally your first instinct would be, okay, I'm just going to scroll on Instagram. I'm bored. I don't have anything else to do. But I've been really training myself to not do that, and also to not watch videos while I'm eating. I feel like I developed this habit like in college when I just did not have enough time to coordinate with friends to get lunch or dinner. And so I just like go to the dining hall, eat my dinner, watch a YouTube video, and leave. And I know I'm not alone in this. And so I've been training myself to read my books instead of watching a video. Reading books makes your break last so much longer and actually recharges you instead of just puts a pause on your life. So that's something I'm working on. But then especially in those awkward in-between spaces, on the toilet even, in the shower, like I know I'm not the only one. I've just been really able to leave the phone and forget about it and just listen to music or a podcast or read my book. And I feel like this podcast is going to help me stay accountable to this, because I really don't want to ever go back to where I was with Instagram. I just don't see the value in it. And it's honestly, with this AI stuff, the AI stuff is driving me crazy, and it's going to cannibalize the whole platform. Because if you can't scroll and see real humans, which was the initial goal of these platforms, the initial goal was to connect people with other people. Then it started connecting people with content. Then it started connecting people with ads. And now it's connecting people with AI-generated content. And what is the point of that? I do not want to see a bunch of AI stuff. I just don't. It's not interesting. It's just kind of bad and worse than our usual stuff. Stuff made by people, by actual creatives, by people that are passionate about something. Yeah, it's just disappointing to see how these hubs of content are trending towards this like inevitable demise. Because the only reason I'm still on Instagram at all is because if you're not, you basically don't exist on the internet, right? Except that now the algorithm dictates what you see. And so if the algorithm doesn't care about your content, you're still not on the internet. So I really don't see the point in it. I'm very pessimistic about it now. And even as I was sharing my sketches on Instagram over the last month, I would notice again and again, like how much I've been constrained on the platform. I already talked about this in the last episode. I'm getting like heated, but I would notice like, oh my God, I did a landscape doodle and it doesn't fit in a reel because reels are vertical. And it's so limiting. It's so limiting. And for example, Woman Artist, it is a 3.5 inch by 5 inch zine in real life. That's a great size. On Instagram, that's a terrible size because it's not, what is it? 16 by 9 aspect ratio. And posting a picture doesn't get you anything. So it's real or bust. So yeah, the longer I'm off Instagram, the more I'm like, what the heck was I doing on there? We'll see if I ever delete my accounts because they are very nostalgic. They have me in such a chokehold, right? Like I'm a month clean and I still feel like the pressure to have it. So I'm off of my phone in these waiting areas and I get to see more art that way too, surprisingly. Like for example, today I took a hot girl walk to my local coffee shop, Matchbox Coffee. They're so cute. It's literally like just a doorway and a hallway. Like it's a very small coffee shop. And they had, believe it or not, they had a zine in there for free. Anyone can pick it up. This is called Slingshot, which is an independent radical newspaper published in Berkeley since 1988. And they call it a zine. I mean, zines are kind of whatever you want them to be, so. But look at how cool this is. It's super like handmade looking. All the stories are about like free Palestine, free your mind, taking action, very radical. I love it. And it's all like just artists working together and people that are passionate working together. And if I was on my phone in that coffee shop, I would not have noticed it. You know, I would have walked in, gotten my coffee, walked out, glued to my phone. But because I'm like looking around in the world, I see things that I wouldn't have noticed otherwise. I just feel like that's really healthy to actually look up and look around and wake up a little bit. I feel like we've all become phone zombies and we make fun of the iPad kids and the Gen Alphas, but us Gen Z and the millennials are just as guilty. So I feel like I've been talking for a long time. I'm going to wrap this up with kind of what I've been reading lately. So like I said, I don't have Instagram, so I've been reading more. I'm already at 10 books this year, which is crazy because I only read just over 20 last year. So I am on track to read 30 books this year. We'll see if it happens. I'm currently reading 3 books at once. Which is something I've never really done before. Even at my peak reading for pleasure stage, which was probably like middle school era, about 10 years ago, I was still only reading like one book at a time. But it's so good to like have a couple different genres that you're balancing, because, and I don't want to smut shame for those of you out there, including myself, that enjoy some smut. That's great. But I do like to balance mine with some other things. It's kind of like Bachelor can't be your only show that you're watching. You have to have some like substance in your other content. So I'm currently reading Word Slut, A Feminist Guide to Taking Back the English Language by Amanda Montell. And I'm just over halfway done with it, and I have to return it on Saturday. I've got some reading to do ahead of me. But it's fine because I'm really enjoying it, and I'm going to talk a lot about it in the next podcast, so I won't talk about it too much right now. So stay tuned for that in 2 Fridays. And then A Court of Mist and Fury, that's my smut. Sarah J. Maas. I finished ACOTAR. This is kind of, I don't think this is a hot take, honestly. Most people say that the second book, the book I'm reading right now, is better than ACOTAR. I would 100% agree with that. I'm not even that far in. I'm like 60 pages in. But the thing that people don't tell you, and I'm going to tell you guys so that you don't make the same mistake, I don't think you even need to read ACOTAR. I know that would probably drive some of you crazy, like not reading the full series. You just don't need it. Sarah J. Maas, she summarizes everything that happens in the first book within the first 60 pages of the second book, which is already so much better in these first 60 pages. The pacing's better. It jumps right in instead of all this like world building. And the world is not that complicated. Like, I don't read fantasy. This is kind of my exploration of fantasy. It's not that complicated. There's the fairy world, there's a wall, and then there's the human world. Like, you pick it up. So if you're thinking about ACOTAR, and if you're a little bit intimidated by a 7-book series, just skip the first one. You don't need it. You heard it here first. So, yeah. And then in that vein, I did make a new sticker on my Redbubble shop. This Girl Reads Smut. I'll link it in the podcast. I was inspired when I was reading this book to make that. And I will link my sticker shop, stickers.angelageorge.com. There's a lot of cute ones on there, so definitely check it out. And then the last book, I actually haven't started reading it quite yet when I'm recording this podcast, but I will have started by tomorrow when I post it. Yes, I procrastinated this podcast so much. I'm doing it the night before. But the last book is Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. It is fiction. I believe it's her debut novel, but she's published by HarperCollins, so going to be an automatic success, right? For those of you that know publishing. And yeah, it's supposed to be very good, very real, maybe some mystery. I try not to read too much about what a book is about before I actually read it. If you know me, you know that I don't like previews. I don't like trailers. I just go in blind. If people like it, I will read it and decide for myself if I like it. I don't need the trailer. I don't need the summary. So it's about an octopus. That's all I know. But I'm excited, and it's for book club. So I've got a deadline. So those are all my updates. I'm 24 now, feeling great. I need to find like a song that talks about being 24 because I need a new anthem. Although, oh my God, by the next podcast. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. So April 19th, that's when the next podcast episode will be published. And that's also when Taylor Swift's new album will come out. So I've got some competition, but please make some time for it. It's going to be a good one. I'm going to talk about the Word Slut book. I'm going to talk about the language in the office. It's going to be a little bit more early career oriented. I haven't done an episode on that in a while, so stay tuned. If you haven't deleted Instagram yet, you can follow the podcast at Vos Memos, or you can follow on my website, angelageorge.com/vos-memos, and check out Zineland, because I worked really hard on it. I coded it from the ground up, and I made all these zines. So people, please read them, because they're fun. At least I think so. and visit my sticker shop because there's some fun ones on there. And if you buy a sticker, then it makes me want to make more stickers. So maybe eventually I'll be able to be a full-time artist. Who knows? Okay, so that's the episode.